And who was the big guy with a mobile rocket launcher on his shoulder? Someone from head office? Couldn't be. This was head office. At least it was the head office of the guide, where these Infinidim Enterprises guys came from, Zarquan knew. Nowhere very sunny, judging from the slug-like colour and texture of their skins. This is all wrong, thought Ford. People connected with the guide should come from sunny places. There were several of them, in fact, and all of them seemed to be more heavily armed and armoured than you would normally expect corporate executives to be, even in today's rough-and-tumble business world. He was making a lot of assumptions here, of course. He was assuming that the big, bull-necked, slug-like guys were in some way connected with Infinidim Enterprises. But it was a reasonable assumption, and he felt happy about it, because they had logos on their armour plating that said Infinidim Enterprises on them. He had a nagging suspicion that this was not a business meeting, though. He also had a nagging feeling that these slug-like creatures were familiar to him in some way. Familiar, but in an unfamiliar guise. Well, he had been in the room for a good 2.5 seconds now, and thought it was probably time to start doing something constructive. He could take a hostage. That would be good. Van Hal was in his swivel chair, looking alarmed, pale and shaken. He probably had some bad news, as well as a nasty bang to the back of his head. Ford leapt to his feet and made a running grab for him. Under the pretext of getting him into a good, solid, double-underpinned elbow lock, Ford managed surreptitiously to slip the identities back into Hal's inner pocket. Bingo. He'd done what he came to do. Now he just had to talk his way out of here. Okay, he said, He paused. The big guy with the rocket launcher was turning towards Ford Prefect and pointing it at him, which Ford couldn't help feeling was wildly irresponsible behaviour. He started again, and then, on a sudden impulse, decided to duck. There was a deafening roar as flames leapt from the back of the rocket launcher, and a rocket leapt from its front. The rocket hurtled past Ford and hit the large plate glass window, which billowed outwards in a shower of a million shards under the force of the explosion. Huge shockwaves of noise and air pressure reverberated around the room, sweeping a couple of chairs, a filing cabinet, and Colin the security robot out of the window. Ah, so they're not totally rocket-proof after all, thought Ford Prefect to himself. Someone should have a word with somebody about that. He disentangled himself from Hal and tried to work out which way to run. He was surrounded. The big guy with the rocket launcher was moving it up into position again for another shot. Ford was completely at a loss for what to do next. Look, he said in a stern voice. But he wasn't certain how far saying things like look in a stern voice was necessarily going to get him, and time was not on his side. What the hell, he thought, you're only young once, and threw himself out of the window. That would at least keep the element of surprise on his side. Chapter 11. The first thing Arthur Dent had to do, he realized resignedly, was to get himself a life. This meant he had to find a planet he could have one on. It had to be a planet he could breathe on, where he could stand up and sit down without experiencing gravitational discomfort. It had to be somewhere where the acid levels were low and the plants didn't actually attack you. I hate to be anthropic about this, he said to the strange thing behind the desk at the Resettlement Advice Centre on Pendleton Alpha, but I quite like to live somewhere where the people sort of look vaguely like me as well. You know, sort of human. The strange thing behind the desk waved some of its stranger bits around and seemed rather taken aback by this. It oozed and glopped off its seat, thrashed its way slowly across the floor, ingested the old metal filing cabinet, and then, with a great belch, excreted the appropriate drawer. It popped out a couple of glistening tentacles from its ear, removed some files from the drawer, sucked the drawer back in, and vomited up the cabinet again. It thrashed its way back across the floor, slimed its way back up onto the seat, and slapped the files on the table. "See anything you fancy?" it asked. Arthur looked nervously through the grubby and damp pieces of paper. He was definitely in some backwater part of the galaxy here, and somewhere off to the left as far as the universe he knew and recognized was concerned. In the sphere his own home should have been, there was a rotten hick planet, drowned with rain and inhabited by thugs and boghogs. Even the Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy seemed to work only fitfully here, which is why he was reduced to making these sorts of inquiries in these sorts of places. One place he always asked after was Stavromula Beta, but no one had ever heard of such a planet. The available worlds looked pretty grim. They had little to offer him because he had little to offer them. He had been extremely chastened to realize that although he originally came from a world which had cars and computers and ballet and Armagnac, he didn't by himself know how any of it worked. He couldn't do it. Left to his own devices, he couldn't build a toaster. He could just about make a sandwich, and that was it.